Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. Here we go.
Juwan Jennings and just how that fits into the overall picture of the 53.
Yeah, so Juwan's still working through his calf issue, making progress. We're kind of like everyone else, hopeful but not sure, you know, on week one. And, we'll proceed as as such. And so we're working to get the best mix out there. We added a piece today, and in MVS, Marquez Valdez Scantling, and thrilled to have him part of it. And we move forward.
Are you involved in any other wide receivers?
We're always trying to improve our roster.
You guys have mentioned his MRI in the past. Do you guys see progress with that, with the imaging that's been taken on the calf?
Yeah, you don't image a guy like daily, you know. So that's something that happened a little bit ago, and if it doesn't get better soon, I'm sure we'll be doing more of that.
Is it worse than you originally had thought it was going to be?
Yeah, but I also, calves can take a long time. That's one thing with that injury. Played with guys who they can take a while. So,
John, I'm sure you may be aware that there's been some conjecture that there's more than just a calf going on, given his desire for your contract and everything. Are you convinced when he is healthy that he'll be ready to play?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. Ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. That's a perfect world, but he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. The other thing is both things can be true. He wants a new contract and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
When you make your decisions on the wide receiver position specifically, do you have to do it assuming you might not have Juwan for the first few weeks?
I think we make every decision on this roster with so many things in consideration. So, yes, of course.
Has he asked to be traded?
A while ago he did. But that was a long time ago, and we've moved on from that.
That was during camp, or was it before?
I'm not getting into when it was, but it was a while ago.
What about Russell Gage? Is he, any plans to bring him back?
Yeah. Gage will be out there today.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the practice squad?
No, he'll be on the 53.
Yeah. Mentioned a couple weeks ago that there would be definitely movement. It's fluid, given the number of injuries and the positions. How hard is it to start looking at week one, knowing that there's still moves to be made, there's some positions that look pretty short right now. As a coach plotting for that, how difficult has that been?
It's always difficult. It's difficult in week eight when you have a bunch of guys go down the week before too. And you're sitting there and you don't have those guys on practice squad and you're not sure how you're going to put it together, but you find a way to figure it out and you show up the next Sunday. At week one, it can be a little bit different, but these are times that you go through always as a coach at some time in the year. I'm glad that we have gotten a lot of our injured guys back. Some joining in on practice on Monday. We'll have more out there today. So hopefully we'll keep having better luck with that.
And this is a team that's had great chemistry, obviously, but it's also had some contractual issues in the past. What does it tell you that Juwan did ask to be traded, and how does that change the way you think about him or the way he exists on this organization?
No, that doesn't faze me at all. I don't think it has anything to do with team chemistry. That only has anything to do with how we approach each other, how we spend our time with each other. That has to do with business decisions, and those are the business decisions people make. But I don't look at any of that stuff. You get a tweet of that while you're on a vacation, and I don't get the tweets, but when people copy a tweet and send it to me, that's about all I get, and I usually move on with my life.
John, when you said he did ask for a trade a while back, has that trade request been rescinded?
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on, and we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
What is his contract? What about the contract site says that he has incentives baked into that contract that he signed? Does he have performance-based incentives?
I think that report, somebody put that in front, that was from last year. So those are things that he's already earned from last year. Yeah.
Your offense is pretty consistently over the years ranked toward the top of the league in yards after catch. From your view, is that, to what extent is that a credit to the scheme versus the individual ability of any one receiver and player?
I mean, I think it always goes to players. I mean, you can always get more yards after the catch if you're really open. You know, you need good players to get really open. And sometimes you're not really open and you have the right player who's only a normal guy would get 2 yards after the catch, but we got a different guy who gets 4 yards after the catch, so that stuff adds up. So I always give that credit to the players.
Nickname for Debo, you can kiddo the Yak Bros. Debo's not here anymore, and I won't be ready to go for the early part of the season. How would you assess Ricky Pearsall's chances of maybe being accepted as a new member?
I'm struggling to hear, but you're saying that him getting
being
yards after the catch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A Yak Bro?
How do you assess his chances of maybe being a new member?
I think anytime you have really good hands, that's where it starts with having yards after the catch. How quickly you can stop the spin of a ball and tuck it away and get immediately vertical usually has to do with how good your hands are. And Ricky is very good at that. Then other stuff goes into breaking tackles and stuff. Debo was elite at that because how big he was and how powerful he was. And then some guys get yards after the catch because they can run away from everybody. But usually the guys who are yards after the catch are guys who don't mess around, catch it clean, get right up the field. And that to me always starts with your hands and leads to the mindset of how you play football.
Are things trending so that you think you'll have Pooney and March week one?
And we're optimistic about it. We're hoping so. I mean, I guess I'd say that'd be trending in the right direction, but we won't know that till next week. And I'm hoping to, and we got Barch back out on Monday's practice. So we're on course for that and hoping to get Pooney out, sometime next week, if not Monday, hopefully Wednesday. But he's doing good in his rehab and it's looking positive so far.
You guys activated Yeager yesterday for pump. Where is he? Is he possible for week one, or is that going
to
be?
Yeah, he's possible for week one. We expect him to get out and start practicing here next week. But we've been doing him. We've been working him out like he's going to play week one. He's been handling that well, and hopefully that'll continue, and he'll be out there on Sunday.
You guys did that overhaul of that defensive front with big emphasis all off season. So now that you're about on the cusp of the season, how does that unit look? You guys stocked up on them at the 53-man roster. I'm sure there's changes now too, how has it come along?
Yeah, there's a lot of change to it, but we like the group, and I think they've all gotten better throughout camp. I mean, Bosa's Bosa. He's going to be Bosa. Mikel started off really good, had a great offseason, then got nicked in training camps, as did C.J. West. But they've both done a nice job. Alfred Collins, we're really happy and proud of the efforts he's put forth, and I think he's improving as he's getting his legs underneath him. Sam O, making great contributions. Kyle just talked about Yeater. Bryce Huff really has shown his value to us. So I think when you throw it all together, Beal in that group as well. So as you throw that whole group together, there's a lot to like. We did claim a guy from Jacksonville, Jordan Jefferson, today, and felt like an opportunity to upgrade our group, a guy we've liked way back to his college days in LSU, and add something to our group, and we wanted to take a look at that. So, when you put the whole group together, I think we like it, and there's versatility, guys who can move inside, rush inside, and be a fun group to work with.
You're listening to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch preseason press conference during the crossover on 95.7 The Game.
Next Jacksonville guys, is the Ethan Waugh connection helpful there, or is that just random?
Well, it's certainly nice to, when you can see the film. We can all see the film. You go back to draft process. But how's he been since he's been a pro? And it's nice to have Ethan's, we respect Ethan's opinion. He's earned that around here. And so it is nice to have that resource.
You mentioned you're not going to trade Juwan Jennings.
Was the decision on Sebastian Valdez, and kind of what went into that decision to kind of go forward the way you did?
Does you mean him not making the 53? Just numbers. I mean, we had sometimes we go with four guys in size, sometimes we go with five. We usually go nine as a group. We went 10. We ended up finding I think we went 11, actually.
11.
Finding out we could get one from another roster, and we're glad that he's still here on our practice squad. So you always take a risk of losing those guys, but there's no difference to me between our 53 and the 16 guys on practice squad. I know for those guys there's a difference because it's a different paycheck, which I fully understand. But Sebastian's part of our team, and I'm glad that we didn't lose him, and I plan on him continuing throughout the year, and there's probably going to come a time in this year where we need him.
You mentioned you're not going to trade Juwan. Are you negotiating with him or waiting for him to come back soon?
We keep those things behind the – we have throughout the offseason, and we'll leave it at that.
You mentioned bringing Russell Gage back. Any other moves of guys who will be added to the 50?
Just some practice squad stuff, and, you know, that's gone on. Continuing to add to that. You know, we'll put that out as soon as that's final, but, you know, just that right now.
Do you plan to have a quarterback on the practice
Yes,
squad?
We do.
Yep,
we do.
The plan with Curtis Rourke this season, is it going to be a redshirt for him?
Or he gets 3 weeks to decide when he comes back. So we'll decide on that and how those 3 weeks go. And you know, I don't expect it anytime real soon, but I think what I said last time, around week six or something. So sometime in that area. So when that happens, we'll have 3 weeks to decide. And it's always tough when a guy doesn't get any off season to throw him into 3 weeks of Carter practices and stuff to make a decision. But I'll tell you, he's worked as hard as anyone can in the position he's in. Just what we see him out there doing alone in the morning, how attentive he is in the meetings and stuff. So he'll give himself a chance in those 3 weeks, and if not, he'll get a redshirt year.
John, how do you think Jake Moody does a quarterback year bringing to the practice squad?
It's not official.
Yeah, he's still en route, but Adrian Martinez is his name. Was with the Jets, and he's en route. Yeah.
How do you think Jake Moody did this preseason?
Well, I think it was an excellent competition between him and Joseph. You know, I think Kyle spoke to, we didn't want that competition to end, but anyone who says it wasn't a competition, I don't really agree. I think, you know, the coaches, the special teams coaches are always charting everything. So you see what you see in front of everyone, and then they're doing things to the side. And Jake had a really good, you know, preseason. You know, I found it interesting after, you know, having a hell of a game in Las Vegas that, you know, a lot of people still have questions. And I guess that when you had a season like you did last year, those things are going to be there until you put those, you kind of put that away. And, you know, we got a lot of belief in him and understand that last year was rough, but that happens in guys' careers. You know, our confidence and belief in him is what we see out here. But, you know, I will say everything's earned in this league, and everyone's got to go prove it each and every game, each and every year. And so Jake understands that.
You guys up front, as far as Marcus Steele, what's his progress been? And also the updates on Upton's out?
Upton should get out there today here this afternoon, so it'll be his first time out of practice here in a little bit, so excited about that. And Marquise Siegel's had an awesome camp. You know, he got a late start, missing OTAs. I think it was his core surgery, I think. But he's been great. You guys have seen him in the game. He's been the same way in practice, and we'll expect him to help us this year.
You guys had 17 guys, offensive linemen, defensive linemen. This year it's 21. Was this just a product of guys that were unhealthy, or...?
We like the groups, you know, really. And, you know, we like the groups. And sometimes there's roster mechanics that go on. Last year, I forget exactly what happened, why we went light. But this is where we thought our best 53 was right now. As Kyle always tells the guys, it's never a final 53. I'm sure it will be fluid. But we like the group of guys. And, you know, that like I said, it you know, expect it to move. It never stays static.
Owners' meetings when free agency was fresh, kind of indicated that you guys had to take your medicine, and I don't think you said it was a one season pause, but you know, kind of had that vibe. I know you've since said that your feelings had changed, and John, if you want to weigh in, but like, where do you, like, it doesn't feel like it's quite Super Bowl or bust, but obviously you still have a lot of great players. Like, I guess big picture, where do you think you are? And I mean, is it a different feeling than some of the past years?
I mean, I've been feeling the same for a while. I mean, we can go back to free agency. I mean, that was, we lost a lot of our team that day, and we didn't sign a bunch of guys, so there was a lot of uncertainty. I felt a lot better after the draft when we filled up some of those holes. When you look at it today, I mean, the draft makes you feel better because you fill up some of those holes, but you're not going to feel good until you actually see those guys make your team and play. I think that was the most exciting thing when you look at the 53. I mean, we lost more D linemen and stuff and defensive players than what we had, especially in one exit. And sometimes when, as a coach, and you think you're going to make that all up in the draft, I look at that as a little make-believe. I don't usually, wherever you draft, first round, second round, seventh round, it's usually 50-50 on that guy. And then when I look at all the guys we drafted and that they legitimately made our team and we're excited about them, that's the stuff that makes me feel a lot better. Where are we at? I don't know. It depends on how good we get as this year goes. We lost some good players, but I think we've filled them with some guys who are capable of becoming those guys and hopefully became capable of becoming better. Is that going to happen right away? No, it never does. But can it happen this year? Can it happen by week four? Can it happen by week eight? And those are things that we're optimistic about. You want to have good luck with injuries and everything like that, which can't control all of that. But I'm excited that we have options in this building. We have young guys to work with, and we have a bunch of players who have been successful in this league who I still believe have a number of good years ahead of them, too.
Kind of following up on that, you look at it two ways. Obviously, more inexperienced, particularly depth-wise, but also maybe more upside. How do you kind of view the variance that you might get with a younger group when you're building up the roster?
Yeah, I think, Nick, you 10 of 11 of our draft picks. That's a lot of draft picks, and 10 of 11 made it, and an undrafted free agent made it as well. So there is a lot of youth on this team. There's a lot of opportunity, with youth. The expectation, the standard doesn't change, and, man, they've got great examples of guys who've done it at a high level in this league. So that's really cool for these guys. But you don't expect for it to go perfectly. And hopefully you've worked through a lot of that during the offseason, during training camp. These guys have played preseason games because of some injuries in camp. A lot of these guys probably got more reps than they've expected. Now, in the same tune, some of our rookies were hurt for, a couple weeks during training camp. So I think a lot of it just remains to be seen, But we're excited about what this group has infused into our team. We're excited about the team in general. Did a lot of talent leave this team last year? Absolutely. But that's the league, and we made the best of it, and I like where our team's at.
When you look at the construction of this team, despite turnover, there's at least a guy in room who's a veteran, who's been there, who can kind of show you guys the ropes. Is that encouraging for you in terms of looking at how the transition can be smooth because of that?
Yeah, it's a great mix. I mean, I remember when I was a rookie having Hardy Nickerson next to me, so to be a young guy and have an established vet who's been really successful, who can help you on the field, but help you off the field too, take you through that. That's what you want in a locker room. And I think we've got that throughout this locker room. There's a lot of really impressive people. And obviously their work on the field speaks for itself. So tremendous for these rookies to have role models. And you want to be successful, study successful people. They're all over this locker room. So I think that bodes well for us. Yeah, thank you.